Hey there, I'm Lee Rowley, and this is Lee After Dark. Why? Because there's more to being a business leader than just business. Each episode, one brave entrepreneur ejects the elevator pitch and just gets real. Today, I'd like to welcome my friend Anthony English. Anthony, how are you, my friend?
Well, Lee, I have got to say, from down here in Australia, down the bottom of the world, that it's not only Lee After Dark and Anthony After Dark. It's actually After Dark After
Dark. It's actually real, true After Dark. Wonderful.
Let me show you. I'm going to show you how After Dark this After Darkness is. And I haven't told you how I am because it's only 6:30 in the morning. And can you seriously expect me to be on fire at 6:30 a.m.?
So you're stalling. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm stalling. So here we are. This is the future, my friend. This is where we live. This is the brightest. This is tomorrow. Welcome to tomorrow. Ooh. So that's after dark. After dark comes light, and that's where we are. How does that sound? Do you like that as a metaphor?
Wonderful. That you've already just blown it all away. So yes, this is absolutely great. You're in silhouette now, so I'm assuming that's intentional. You're going to be
Let me fix the silhouette.
We can do it.
Let me fix the silhouette.
We can do it investigative discovery style. You know, the little like the what is it, Modern Murders or whatever, where the people are silhouette. Okay. So
there we are.
This is the traveling edition of Lee.
This is
the
traveling edition.
Yes.
And not only that, we've actually got some special guests here, and I know they weren't exactly invited, but
well, that's okay. The more, the merrier.
The birds. We're going to have some birds making noise. Can you hear them? Not yet.
No. Okay. I can live with birds. I don't have anything against birds.
Yeah, well, I hope you can live with birds. Well, I mean, not exactly living with birds because, I mean, like, no offense, but you're not a bird.
Generally, no.
It would be quite hard for you to live with birds, like inside a nest, you know? I think they'd notice.
Not a big fan of already masticated worms and whatnot. So, yeah, I think I'll stick with what I got.
Yeah, well, it's actually not up to you. The birds have got to invite you.
Oh, I didn't know I didn't have a choice in the matter.
Huh. Yeah, no. Well, yeah, no. Anyway, to answer your question, well, thank you, Lee. You asked how I was.
That's good. This is going to go. Okay, very good. Well, wonderful. I'm glad to have you here. While I can, I'm going to sneak in the rules, which are simple. For the next 20 minutes, you can talk about anything you want but your business. After that, you got 5 minutes to pitch up a storm.
And
standard rules are anytime you talk about your business during the interview, which nobody ever really does, then you lose a minute of pitch time at the end. But you know, it'll happen someday, I guess. Somebody will tick me off and I'll ding them a minute. But you know, until then, you pretty much got free reign. So,
all right,
welcome.
So thank you. So are we allowed to give the readers a little bit of inside readers, viewers? Listeners, what are they? Viewers, what are they?
Well, that depends. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
We're like Batman.
We're like what?
Batman.
Huh. Funny you should mention Batman, because had we done this interview just an hour or two later, we would have had a Robin, actually a little Robin or Bluebird. Nice. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
We got one.
Well played.
Anyway, but we can't do that. You said what? You're like Batman everywhere?
I don't know. It was just one of those jokes that just didn't go anywhere, and I was trying to sweep it under the rug, but you know.
Yeah, but you can't get away with that.
I'm stuck with it now.
You've got to be up early.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to just segue into here because you sent me a list of things that you can talk about, and I want to start at the end. You said the wisest advice I ever received from an 82-year-old man. Before we get to that, I'd like to know, what's the daftest advice you've ever received from an 82-year-old man?
I get a job.
You win. All right. So what is the sagest advice you've ever received from an 82-year-old man in context?
I was about 21 years old. Okay. And had gone through something of a, not even a heartbreak, but somebody had said something to me that was hurtful. I don't even remember what it was. I don't remember who it was. And I met this man, his name was Joe McGrath. And Joe was a great old soul. He knew everybody in Sydney, just walked around and said hello to everybody. He knew there was a homeless man who was completely incoherent. And Joe went up and spoke to him. Like he would speak to everybody. And Joe said to me, "Anthony, I'm going to give you some advice. And if I had learnt it when I was your age, I would have had a happy life." I thought, wow, Joe was like one of the happiest men I'd ever met. And he said, no, he shared with me some suffering, some way that somebody had hurt him in a way that had basically lasted with him for the rest of his life. It was a terrible thing. I had no idea. And Joe said, you know, when people are being unreasonable, he said, ride them out, listen to them if you want, but don't take it to heart. Don't take them seriously. How good is that advice?
Solid. I think that would save many of the people listening years of useless hurt and guilt and worry and blame.
Yeah.
And just wasted time.
We really do, don't we? I mean, I'm a husband, a father of 7 children, and sometimes children get a little bit excited, shall we say? Of course, ours are always entirely, perfectly well-behaved in every respect, of course. I mean, what less would you expect?
Sure,
what more would you expect?
Yeah.
However, other people's children, right? This is just other people's children.
Right.
Yeah, and for them to be able to see that, to see things in a bigger perspective is so important. Yeah, not to take it too much to heart, you know?
Absolutely. You know, everyone around you, and this is something I struggled with for years. When I go to the supermarket, I look at other people, they're pushing their carts around, and they all look mad. And I always used to think, like, nobody likes me. Everybody's unfriendly. And it's like, you know what? No, everybody's got this whole world going on that they're carrying around inside their skulls. It has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's right. You're not that important, Lee, you know?
I know.
Yeah,
and that's a relief.
It is a relief. I'll tell you why, because you're worrying what they're thinking of you, and they're probably worrying what you're thinking about them, right?
Exactly. Like, you're wasting time and they're wasting time. We don't even really have time to waste.
I mean, life is too short. Right. And we've got just so many gifts, so much to give, so much. The thing that's struck me really about talking to people, because I do talk to people. People, I think, of, you know, don't just talk to. I mean, I'm not talking to you at the moment. I'm talking to a microphone. Did you know?
That's true. Yes. Yeah. But I'm just pixels on a screen.
You could be a hologram. I don't actually know if you exist.
I don't know either.
Well, that's an interesting thought. But what I'm really struck by is people's courage. You know, our good friend Brindy, she always struck me as just the most, like, one of the most courageous people I know. She was absolutely on your episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, wonderful. Yeah.
Fantastic person. I have to say I've been really lucky. I think putting down this challenge of stepping outside of the business stuff and getting real has just really attracted people who just have powerful stories to share that didn't even know that they needed sharing.
That's true.
So, yeah, but it is. I mean, you and everyone else that's been on the show, I mean, you all contribute something unique to our perspective and allow us to question ourselves, which I think is a privilege.
It's a great thing. Sometimes you get just thrown curveballs. I believe the baseball term is. I don't actually know what a curveball is, but anyway, stuff that's hard to deal with, right? Coming by surprise. Is that what a curveball is?
It is. I mean, I surprisingly enough, I was picked last for absolutely every sport ever. So I really don't know my sports that well. We're going to say it is. I think it's a baseball thing.
Right. So life gets throws you some curveballs, and sometimes you just have to deal with things just because they kind of get sprung on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really tough. But, yeah, being able to see things in perspective is just amazing. You know, to be able to see the bigger picture.
It really is. And I found that from getting caught up in my own world for too long and just realizing just what I've missed by giving too much thought to the endless chatter that goes on between here and here and not enough to the richness that goes on out there. So, well, which is all the same thing.
It's a great perspective. I know. So I'm making this a little bit of a tour here.
Ooh.
That's okay. So this is, we'll call this an ad break, right? This is like the Super Bowl ad break. Okay.
There he goes with the sports references again.
Oh, that's what I did too. I'm actually not that into sports. So, I mean, what you said, sometimes I think sometimes the biggest prison is between here and here, you know, in our own minds. We really do create so much fear and anxiety, and what are they thinking of us, and imagine and assume what people are, you know, that they're out to get us and so on. One thing that I found extremely helpful in life is, and I've only really learned this very recently, I would say fairly recently, is to take things, I was going to say take things with a grain of salt, it's not that, but to take things as assume that people mean things with goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Assume that, take them in the best possible light. Yeah.
Is it possible? Yeah. In the States, we say we give people the benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it's something that we've kind of lost doing. I think we've all become so cynical. Well, not all of us, but you know, I know I'm guilty of it.
Well, I am. Yeah, absolutely. It's and it's so easy, especially because it can be very funny to be very cynical about everything as well. Yeah. And it's cynical about yourself, for that matter.
Well, that is true. That's an excellent point. So, you know, what are my motives? You know, I'm a jerk like everybody else. You know? You know, and once you learn to be okay with that, you know, if you're going to cut everybody else some slack and put up with the crazy stuff they got going on, then you've got to be able to cut yourself some slack too. And,
you know, well, exactly. I mean, you would give them you would give them the at least as much goodwill as you would yourself, right? I mean, you expect them to be kind to you the way that you would be kind to them, to a complete stranger. So, you know, some of the talk even against ourselves, like some of that incredible energy that we burn up going, just beating ourselves up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's horrible.
Where do you think we get that from? I mean, is it programming? Is it environment? Is it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I lived in Spain for a year, and I did find that was a very, very different perspective, a much more positive outlook. People were from us in Australia, we've basically from an English or Irish background, basically, originally most of us, and that's certainly doesn't lend itself to an optimism, shall we say.
Fair enough.
I heard the example that an optimist a pessimist thinks, right, an optimist thinks everything is bad except the pessimist, sorry, everything is good except the pessimist, right? And the pessimist thinks everything is bad except himself. Yeah.
Nice. I like it. You know what? We're keeping that one. That one's going in the show notes. All right, that's going in the show notes, but I just knocked my pin off my desk, so we'll be going back through the footage to get that one. But that's beautiful. Absolutely. So you lived in Spain. Where about in Spain?
So I was in Madrid. I was there for a year teaching English, And but that was more than 20 years ago. I'm older than I look, Lee.
So and, yeah, somewhere in your 30s, and, then yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just in my early 20s. Here. So yeah, no, I'm in my mid 50s, and so that was more than 25 years ago. But I still speak Spanish pretty well. So that's been great. Kind of helps you to see things with a different perspective, if you like. Yeah. Absolutely. Can you hear those birds in the background?
Yes, I can.
You can.
At this point, I can hear things in the background. So really,
there we go. As promised, as delivered, viewers.
Very good.
Don't go writing into Lee After Dark to the complaints desk, okay? Asking for a refund. Mm-mm. Okay, we promised, we delivered.
That's right. You wanted birds, you got birds.
You wanted birds, you got birds.
Even how about kangaroos? You talked about dodging those while you're driving.
We do have to dodge kangaroos. Actually, it's not a high risk where I am.
Okay.
Further out from Sydney, in some parts it is. But I did some videos on LinkedIn. I walked up to some kangaroos recently, said hello. Well, I didn't actually say hello. They don't talk English. But one of them had a joey in her pouch, which was lovely. And so I did a little video there. I was about probably 30 yards away from them. Yeah.
Very nice. So we got
kangaroos near us.
So what happened? Not that I would want a kangaroo and a car to have an unfortunate meeting in the same space. But I mean, I'm picturing like here out loud outside of the cities, it's deer. You know.
Yeah, we have wild deer here as well.
Okay.
So what's
I mean, is it like, you know, the same sort of thing? Like around here, if you get a good hit with a deer, your car is just, I don't care if you just drove it off the lot. They'll give you, you know, be like, sorry, you know, this is total.
Yeah. Career. Yeah. You don't want to run into a kangaroo.
Okay. So they're pretty happy. Plus I just wouldn't want really I wouldn't weird. Want to anyway. I dodge squirrels. So
you dodge well?
Squirrels.
Oh, you dodge squirrels.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I'm definitely not going to intentionally try to take out a kangaroo. That would just be rude.
Okay. Well, could I just make a recommendation here?
Sure.
If you move to Australia, which is on the cards, because you said, Lee, After Dark, and this is After Dark. It's now light.
Right.
By the way, since it's tomorrow here, would you like the winning lottery numbers?
Ooh, that would be wonderful. Yeah, I suppose it requires playing, though, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you do set up shop here in Australia, which I would highly encourage you to do.
Okay.
I think if you do have kangaroos, as you're driving down the street, could I suggest that you do two things? Put up a sign that says kangaroo crossing. It's the first thing.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And the second thing is teach kangaroos to read. And to obey the street signs, you know.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. I will work with it. But, you know, you said they don't speak English, so I'm
as far as I know.
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure what.
Could you just note that down on your to-do list?
I will do that. Upon arriving there, I will go to the kangaroo crossing sign store and stock up. I'm assuming
that's a good idea. The kangaroo crossing store. That is, am I allowed to say, that is actually, this is about your work.
It's
about your work, not my work. Yep. That would be a very, very niche market. Kangaroo crossing store signs. I think you would nail that market. I think you'd probably starve, but I don't see many.
What is it? I always talk about speaking to an audience of one. In that case, it might really be an audience of one.
It might actually be an audience of zero. I think we could safely predict that you're going to go broke, unless you could sell it to tourists. That would be an interesting thing.
Yeah.
We do have crocodile warning signs, and tourists take them away as a souvenir, which is not good if you're another tourist who doesn't know that there are crocodiles there.
Okay. But it's a boon for crocodiles.
It's very good for crocodiles. So maybe you could have a crocodile warning sign. It kind of doubles your market. Like you go from kangaroo warning signs to croc warning signs as well. It's a different market. We don't have many crocodiles around here at all that I have seen.
I was going to say, Australia sounds like a dangerous place. We're besieged by kangaroos and crocodiles. I mean, what's next? Timeshare salesman?
I know. What was the last one?
Timeshare salesman. I don't know if we've got any of those running amok in Sydney, but, you know. I've met a few in Vegas that I'd like to drop off in there. So if you know.
Well, what, in front of the kangaroos and the crocs? What you could do is actually have timeshare salesman signs, crossing signs as well. Because they can read. Well, they can read.
Technically.
Well, maybe you could draw a picture. Can you draw? Do you know how to draw, Lee?
Actually, I have an art degree.
Yeah, an art degree.
Yeah, I do. Which explains why I'm doing this.
Lee, we should be speaking about design and drawing because you know what? You can draw.
No, I didn't say that. I said I had an art degree. Whoa.
In kindergarten, did you ever do finger painting in kindergarten?
Yes.
I failed.
You failed finger painting?
I failed finger painting. They nearly kicked me out of kindergarten.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I do not have a design bone in my body.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is not, yeah. Like, don't get me to draw the signs, put it that way. Is that okay?
Okay. That's cool. We'll outsource that. We'll do that on Fiverr.
Outsource it to any 5-year-old on the planet.
Yes, right? Absolutely. With that, we have successfully completed the 20-minute Lee After Dark not talking about your business challenge. So hooray, and invisible confetti and whatnot. You have. Bravo. I got to get my sound effects board. I keep saying that, but I got to hook it
invisible
up.
Invisible confetti? Hey, get your sound effect. What's invisible confetti sound like? Fairly
what
quiet.
What does it sound like?
Well, fairly quiet, I imagine.
It
confetti doesn't
is.
Make a lot of noise.
Pretty tasteless,
invisible
too.
Invisible confetti.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I am, you know, being that I'm a man of my words, we've completed the challenge, yay, and invisible confetti and whatnot. You now have 5 minutes to pitch up a storm.
Oh my
goodness.
Anything
you want to talk about, it's up to you.
So I'm a business coach, and I coach people. That's not true. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I coach women. That's not true.
Okay.
My target market, to use the language of those terrible marketing people, my target market is a little bit narrower than women. Is Rachel's.
Mm.
Rachel's. Rachel. Women called Rachel. That's it.
Ah. So are you only taking on clients named Rachel, or is Rachel a state of mind?
Rachel is not a state of mind.
Oh.
And Rachel is not a name.
Okay. But
I had a Raquel ask, am I allowed? Raquel is actually what, a Spanish or a French version of Rachel?
Okay.
I said, yeah, okay. That's all right.
So derivatives are good.
Derivatives are good.
Okay.
And but if you come in and you say Lee, you say Anthony, my name is Lee.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Rachel, spelled L-double-E, pronounced Lee. No. Sorry, you're not going to get that one past the bouncer. Nice try. Nice try.
I've seen this before.
Yeah, I've seen this before. That's right. Yeah. The beard, seriously, you're not going to do it. So, Rachel, what's behind that? I was looking through my list of – I was working with men and women, and men kind of didn't quite get what it is that I do. I help them with pricing and sales and all of that yucky stuff. Right? Mm. Working out who their target market is. Service businesses. You know, they could be copywriters. They could be graphic designers. They could be bookkeepers. Not really a vertical. But I was looking through the list and I saw a couple of names kept popping up. One was Sarah and one was Rachel. List of people who are, wow, I'd love to have her as a client. I'd love to have her as a client. And the name Rachel kept popping up. So did Sarah. And as it turns out, I am working a little bit with people who are in the Jewish community in New York and New Jersey. I'm not Jewish myself, but That name, Rachel, you may have noticed, is somewhat prominent in the Jewish community. Outside the Jewish community as well, the name Rachel is common. So I said, you know what? So I put out a challenge on LinkedIn. Hey, I'm just looking through my list. I found a few people, few ladies named Rachel, and they're awesome. They're amazing. I didn't highlight any of them. I didn't tag any of them or name any of them. I named them all. I named them all Rachel. I said, does anybody know anyone called Rachel who's amazing? Tell us why. That was it. That was the challenge.
Nice.
So what happened? We had over 60 Rachels got highlighted. People said, well, my sister is Rachel. She's this fantastic copywriter. My grandmother is Rachel. I wish I'd been named after her. My other, I'm Rachel. And you're not getting away with that one, Lee Rowley. You're not Rachel. Don't you go telling me that. And it was just beautiful. And I had Rachels writing to me saying, like, they were in tears. And they just said, I feel special. I feel like I'm a celebrity. And the point of the post was to make people realize, wow, if there are that many people cheering you on because you're Rachel and wanting to help you in your business, well, what if your name was Sarah? What if your name was David or Lee or Anthony or something else? There are people there who love you and want to encourage you. I had competitors, had people promoting their competitors. It was wonderful. And so I said, wow, hey, Rachel, do you know what? So it wasn't a buyer persona. It wasn't target market. It wasn't a customer avatar. It was, I'm going to say, I'm going to help Rachel's, which generates a lot of intrigue. Good for copywriting. I help Rachel's. What's a Rachel? You know, the girl's name, Rachel, plural. I help Rachel's with business. That's my elevator pitch.
Beautiful. Absolutely love it.
And of course, we end up talking about all kinds of things, and sometimes deep things. Even the fact that they failed finger painting in kindergarten, that's totally okay. And I help them with their pricing, their sales, their confidence, and help them just to love to do what they're already absolutely awesome at doing.
Fantastic. So, how could Rachel's and anyone who an aspiring Rachel's? I don't know. How can they find out more about you and get in touch with you?
The best way is to connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a personalized invitation. Now, if you're really not on LinkedIn, that's okay as well. But because I do have a website, anthonyenglish.com.au. Hey, Lee, can you guess what the .au is? Hint. I'm from Australia.
Right. Yeah. It's gold.
That's right. That .au means Australia. So thank you. Yeah, that was a good. You win. You're very good.
I'm a useless bag of knowledge. That's what it is. I mean, bag of useless knowledge. Let's try that again. Arg. Well, fantastic. Okay, we'll have your the links in the show notes too. So
Link to my website and then to my LinkedIn profile. I'm super active on LinkedIn. And I have videos of kangaroos and jokes and copywriting stuff and advice on pricing and getting chased down by magpies, all kinds of things.
Well, you know, I appreciate all the work that you do. Personally, I have to say you're one of the people who kind of broke apart that sense of LinkedIn for me as being that corporate button down, I don't fit in here place. You're one of the first people that I met when I really seriously started looking at it again. And you're one of the reasons into when, okay, I think I can make this work. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Any parting thoughts before we wrap this up?
One thing for the perfectionists who are listening, which is probably nobody. Okay. I'm going to ask you perfectionists, do you actually do anything perfectly? No. So here is my question. Here's my quote from G.K. Chesterton, 20th century journalist, early 20th century. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you, Anthony, for sharing with us, for, you know, opening up and just sharing a glimpse of your life and your wisdom. We really appreciate it. And you've been a blast. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, look, I don't take on clients if they don't enjoy my sense of humor. That's it. I don't enjoy it. That's it. They're gone.
If they're good for somebody else, right? That's right. Well, Anthony,
Bye, Rachel.
We are out of time, but if you found Lee After Dark more entertaining and relevant than most of the drag out there, subscribe to the Lee After Dark YouTube channel, and now get Lee After Dark in your pants. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Stitcher, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and who the heck knows where else, so you can enjoy us wherever you stick your phone. Until next time, this is Lee Rowley with my good friend Anthony English. Be present and be well.